Hey everyone, welcome to Myopia Defend Your Childhood. I'm going to keep this short. I want to thank everyone who came out to my first Cineprop show. It really touches me that you guys made an effort to come out. And additionally, I want to thank everyone who has given us good feedback or bad feedback. Hell, I like feedback and I want to improve in every way. So iTunes, Facebook, Twitter, you know the routine, sign up. We have some exciting stuff coming, and hopefully you've been enjoying our new spin-off Myopia Mornings. Mission Briefing is now done, or is it? Listen to the episode, and we will soon have a little bit of a teaser coming out about what that is going to look like. However, let's move ahead now. This week on Myopia Defender Childhood, we watched Jackie Chan all over this place. We watched Legend of the Drunken Master. Thanks.
There's a fair chance you don't like the news, and I get that. I'm Buzz Burbank, and I do a different kind of newscast I think you will like. I tell stories, true stories, because when you view it the right way, there's nothing more amazing than real life. I cover most of the stuff the big media outlets cover, but often with a different approach, richer in detail, and with a perspective that ties it all together so we have some idea of what it all means. I deliver stories that'll make you laugh, make you cry, and make you angry, because that is the nature of life, and because you cannot be a better citizen unless you understand and feel the news. I also don't cover some of the useless stories you'll find elsewhere, and do cover real stories the rest of the media somehow managed to avoid. With my nearly 40 years' experience in broadcast journalism and a love of writing, this is a news program that's custom-made for you. Buzz Burbank News and Comment is now a weekly show, new each Thursday, and available free on iTunes, SoundCloud, and several other platforms, and at buzzburbank.com. In addition to the other shows you enjoy here on the ESO Broadcast Network, thank you for adding me to your playlist as well.
Welcome to Myopia Defend Your Childhood. This week, I'm in character as a drunken master because we watched a masterpiece of alcoholism. My name is Nick H., and I have a problem. Welcome to Legend of the Drunken Master.
Hi, Nick.
I'm your host of Myopia Defend Your Childhood, Nick, and on panel tonight, we have...
Jeremy.
Hello, this is Daniel, and come happy hour, I will be the drunken master.
Matthew W. Quinn, who does not get drunk enough to do kung fu.
And our defendant, who I've decided to randomly assign the defendant.
And Tom Herman, and I don't think I've had enough yet to be on this panel.
I've been on some of your podcasts before. It doesn't matter. Listen to Geekly Oddcast. I'm sure it exists by this point.
It does.
It does.
We've had 10 episodes.
I think I've been on 9 of them. Actually, I've been on 13 of them, yes, which is probably true.
You haven't published all of them.
We miss you.
And, of course, Daniel's spinoff might exist at one point in time. I don't know. This will come out sometime in... So, yeah, it should be out.
Yep. I should have 12 episodes by
that one. Oh! I'll plug... Oh, we'll do plugs at the end. So, as is traditional, we're going to do the plot synopsis. Since Matt and Daniel are here, we're going to have Matt explain the plot, but Daniel's going to dub for him. So, Matt, what was the plot?
Okay, it takes place in China in probably the early 20th century, I'm thinking before the communists take over. And there's some, and this son of a pharmacist is trying to take some ginseng root back to his father's shop, and he gets switched with a jade statue or seal of some kind. And so a bunch of thugs working for the British consul try and get it back. And there's a lot of kung fu and a lot of drinking. And. Yeah.
Well, Jade hasn't done this podcast in a while, so Daniel, can you dub him?
Get back!
You know, I was wearing my headphones at the time. That'll be mixed down.
I'm sorry?
No, you're fine. I left my notebook downstairs, but there was probably notes in it like Drunken Master. So we start on a train.
an actual train, not the sex act. So.
Whoa, hey now.
That's I mean, there was a long pause, so I felt there was a need to clarify.
So after Jackie Train gets a train run on him,
Jackie Train?
No.
So for those of you who haven't learned, this is what, well, drunks like us in the South think of as when they watch a foreign film. Sure, you could turn into classics like Au Revoir les Enfants or a Serbian film, but what you actually want
Jesus Christ,
is
a Serbian film? What's wrong with you?
See is a kung fu film like this or Hero.
I'm not going
to
let that
ass kicking section.
I'm not going to let that Serbian film reference go. What is wrong with you, sir?
A Serbian film, the proof of universal human depravity.
I thought that was a human centipede.
That too.
That even has human in the title.
Yeah. Exhibit for the damnation of the human race, Exhibit A.
Through however many people were lined up in
there.
500 in the last one.
This is an audio podcast, so you can't see, but right before we started recording, Tom is recording a warhead, so every time he laughs, all you see is a blue tongue like he just gave a beach to Smurf at. I just can't, man. Regardless, so he's not on this train, and Jackie Chan...
he's trying to smuggle a ginseng root past customs that his dad, who is apparently a doctor, is trying to give to a wealthy client. He'll save, what, $50 that way, according?
Yeah, apparently. And so what he does is he smuggles it into the, I guess, the attaché case
of an ambassador,
a British ambassador, because he's a white guy. And so there's essentially four white guys in the film, and they're evil. I mean, we're all white. We acknowledge that we're probably kind of evil. I'm Dutch. I'm 6'5". I've probably crushed many small people. It happens.
I'm half Romanian. I don't know.
Really? I'm part Romanian too.
So we have the speed bump of Europe.
I'm actually Transylvanian Romanian. I don't drink
water. Whenever I think...
No.
We
need to keep you away from any sharp wooden objects, don't we?
I just think of The Simpsons when they have Krusty the Clown as a vampire and they have the cue cards and he goes, "Tonight I'm going to suck your blood."
Yeah.
As a Northern European, tall, handsome, conquesting...
You can say that because this is radio.
Yeah, right. The handsome part, the tall part you can hear in my voice.
Modest.
Ladies. Let me try that again. Ladies. That's good, see?
Oh, baby.
That's what the mixing board is for. Mm-hmm. There's not a lot to talk about this movie, as you can tell. It's fun as shit. I'm going to go ahead and kind of change the order of things. It's worth watching, if only to see Jackie Chan not catch on fire when he kind of catches on fire from the blooper reel.
Several times he caught on fire. Several times in that blooper reel.
But for those of you, Thomas is my in here, but classic comedy is based on physical comedy because in the silent era, that's all you have. This is a Buster Keaton / Three Stooges film.
And Charlie Chaplin. I mean, this is flat out physical comedy at its best. And what's wonderful about it is Jackie Chan is famous for not wanting to use, you know, false effects. Like, he wants to have it happen. Like, you know, whereas, you know, Buster Keaton with the house falling down on him, he had one shot to get it right, and if he screwed up.
Or that bit with the water when he was hanging on that water pipe and it poured down on him and he actually broke his neck.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, the train, of course, is classic from the Confederate
general. The general.
Yeah, yeah. But, I mean, even building the house, the short, where he's inside of like an IKEA house and the front wall falls and crushes him. I mean, this is up there with any of those because he is... There's a montage later. I mean, it's not a montage. It's a fight scene. But there's 9 cuts inside of a house that's burning down and falling apart. And there's people climbing the doors. There's a series of ladders that get twisted around as he falls down a staircase. And
it's fantastic. And one of the things it does wonderfully is in a fight scene that we lose a lot in today is filming a fight scene is like filming a conversation or a tennis match. Mm-hmm. You need to make sure that as you do it, you follow the right clipping so that you don't lose sight of who's on which side. And it's more effective if you do that. This film did that masterfully. Like, you never got this point where of confusion, or it was just gloriously shot, and the effects that they pulled off, which is everything Jackie Chan putting himself right under the knife.
All fight scenes today look like video games because they're like CGI'd all to hell.
Because they have actors who don't know how to fight, so you have to cut around it.
And shaky cam, which I can't stand.
Yeah.
Whereas this is just, you know, It's textbook. It's
well, I mean, and if you guys listen to my, like the other feed, and I mean, I guess it's on here, but like in Mission Briefing, we talk about Quantum of Solace. That's kind of the problem. It's not that Daniel Craig isn't incredible. It's just that when you do the shaking cam, you can't even appreciate what he actually can do.
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. And here you have this whole sequence in which Jackie Chan, who's this masterful artist, I mean, really, like it's a steady cam. It's not even a handy cam where it's in some. No. It's stationary, so we can see everything he does, to the point where the continuity errors are, they're few, but you can notice them because they're like, no, this is the shot where he got it. We're going to splice it in. It's great. Mm-hmm.
Well, though, I just love because, you know, we go back to the train. He starts fighting this guy. So he smuggles the ginseng root into the ambassador's attaché case. He goes back to try and get it, and there's another guy robbing the ambassador's attaché case. And so there's another person trying to rob the ambassador's attaché case. And from there, you know, so they get into this fight because the guy punches him. And a good part of this fight is taking place in a crouching position underneath the train or underneath the platform right next to the train. And literally, it's just the camera probably on a rail track.
Yeah.
Just rolling back and forth to get the shot, but there's no real shifting.
There's no cuts at all.
There's no cuts. It's just one long take. And it's not like a long take today where they can kind of cheat to get it. Mm-hmm. This was just one long take back and forth.
But it still feels energetic as all hell. It feels like it's very rapid and quickly cut because of just how the choreography works.
Oh, yeah.
Well, and frequent guest and person mildly related to Thomas, Christina, mentioned that this looks like a better Tarantino film. And that's what it is, right? Because, like, no, I mean, the closest thing I can think of that we've done is Evil Dead 2, because that's what it is. It's a guy with a dolly, and the dolly shoots through the forest and hits... Mm-hmm. You just deal with it in these kinds of movies. And sometimes, guess what?
Are you saying this movie could have used some tree rape?
Not only could it use some tree rape, but if the American was played by Bruce Campbell...
At one point,
he's stabbing someone with a chin in the eye.
They are weaponized in this movie. Chins are weaponized.
I just imagine watching, because I watched Logan recently and cried like a child.
I haven't seen Logan yet.
Okay, so X-23 had blades in her feet like Logan has in his hands. If Bruce Campbell had a blade in his chin, my God, he is
his chin is
weapon.
A blade. Come on.
Here comes the Crimson Chin.
Man, this is also the first podcast we have recorded after Adam West passed away. And speaking of utility chins, man, like, this is a shame.
This is quite a shame.
An evil American to beat. God, if it had been Batman versus... Jackie Chan. I mean, because he was... backing up. Bruce Lee was Kato?
Yes.
Yes. Yep.
Jackie Chan, man, in that remake with Seth Rogen would have been a fucking movie. That movie was unwatchable. Right?
Not arguing. Seen
it. Not its moments.
I refuse to watch it on the grounds of...
If Jeremy says this has this moment, I give Jeremy credit because I can't...
How was the most recent Transformers movie, Jeremy?
I walked out after 20 minutes when, you know, Stanley Tucci shows up as a drunk Merlin. I was like, this is going to be rough.
No, I like Stanley Tucci. No!
Yes, drunk Merlin.
Hey. He has a very nice bathroom. That's what you get from a Michael Bay movie. You get paid and you're just like, this is for the bathroom. It'll be a very nice bathroom.
Given what I was quoted on a bathroom this week, I'm inclined to believe that.
So what does Steve Buscemi's bathroom look like after Armageddon?
Well, like an Armageddon.
Yeah.
Platinum.
He would stay awake just so you could see it. He would stand close to this moment.
Jeremy.
I did that movie forever ago.
So we're kind of all over the place because the movie's kind of all over the place. They do like fights just at the drop of a hat. Like one of them saw the woman just starting a 5-minute fight with a guy because she didn't want to let him into the school.
Oh, well, let's back up. Okay, so the main characters end up being the fact that his father is this kind of, he's a kung fu master in his own right, because apparently if you are if you're a Hong Konger, right, you just know kung fu, right? Mm-hmm. He's a medicine man.
Pharmacist, which is a fair.
Yeah, I mean, Matt places pre-World War I, right?
Pre-World War II, because you see some of the government documents people use is the Republic of China flag.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
Fair. And then Jackie Chan is his kind of wacky son who has his own fighting style, which they call Drunken Mastery. And everyone's like, hey, you're a Drunken Master. I learned under blah, 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 blah. I know traditional kung fu. He's like, oh, yeah.
And to be fair, drunken boxing is a thing.
Is a thing.
It is a genuine thing. So,
and it's so funny because in the first, I guess, two or three times we see it, he's pretending to be drunk, and then eventually his mom's like, you need your spinach, Popeye! And he just starts throwing booze at him like it's, well, it's either cocktails or spring break in Panama City.
How long was it before we started singing the Popeye theme whenever he started drinking?
Immediately.
Oh, by the end, we were all joining in. It was great.
Honestly, what this film was great for is the amazingly choreographed fight scenes. This is why you're here. You're here to watch Jackie Chan kick ass.
Well, I mean, like I said at the beginning, it's not even like a MacGuffin in that we need the Tesseract for any Marvel film ever because they have one idea and it's a glowing orb. And then some blue guy holds up a fist because he's going to fist you for your money. This is literally like, we wanted ginseng, but we ended up with something else. It's a Three Stooges bit. Like, someone ended up with the wrong trousers, Gromit, and now you have to solve it throughout the rest of the movie.
And then they forget it for like half an hour. They forget the jade seal bit for half an hour as what, they go home and they're like digging up bonsai tree roots.
And the comic relief is using it as a mortar and pistol. Like, I mean, yeah.
Well, and then don't forget the subtle political commentary here, which is great because this is 94, you found out?
Yeah, 94.
The handover of HK was 93, right?
When 97. 97.
Seven.
So this is a precursor.
This is the prequel.
to the Hong Kong handover?
This is the prequel to Rush Hour.
Oh.
Christ crackers. Oh my God. Do you understand the words that are coming out of my bullshit?
Nobody understands the words that are coming out of your mouth.
If you guys pay me, we can do that movie, because that movie depressed me when I saw it before I knew things.
The problem is that that a lot of Jackie Chan's early movies, and this movie, and Rush Hour, and even one of his more recent ones, are all of a similar damn plot, which is about the British or some conglomerate rich guy trying to steal artifacts out of China. And that is what this movie is.
I mean, I get it, but it's the most shoehorned thing ever, right? Because otherwise this is the plot of a Three Ninjas movie, right?
It's
Three Ninjas.
Oh, gosh.
Man, you do realize that if the sapphire, sorry, the jades were replaced with a Game Boy, this is the three Ninjas movie.
Or Surf Ninjas.
That was a Game Gear, sir. That was a Game Gear.
Oh, my God, that's right, because in the third act, he's controlling him with the game. Oh, my God. It's not even some sweet surfing tunes.
No. It is not.
No Dick Dale soundtrack.
No Pauly Short. No.
This is why Jeremy might say 10 words, but they're the most appropriate.
No, Rob Schneider. Rob Schneider was in that one.
And all he does is polish his board, which is essentially a metaphor for his career.
Yeah, which he just then immediately afterwards hooked on to Adam Sandler and has.
Yeah, don't give me the mental image of Rob Schneider polishing his board. Come on.
I remember
Rob Schneider was a lady.
Hey, come down there and beat
you. He said Rob Schneider polishing his board.
Hey, I remember Saturday Night Live.
Stapler.
I remember Saturday Night Live back in the 90s when he was the sensitive naked man.
The two lines I always remember from Surf Ninjas are as follows. Which is, one was Rob Schneider at the top of the stairs pretending to be handicapped and going, "Don't make me come down there and beat you with a leg of mine that no longer works, because I'll do it." And the second line was him and Tone Lock talking about us. Yeah, he said, "But you can't. You just can't buy knives." And Tone Lock goes, "I know." I was like, "I cut through this, but you know, you just can't buy knives." And it was like, "I
Tone Lock. That's a name I haven't heard of in a long time."
It's because you weren't on the Ferngully podcast.
I just remember Tone Loke being the guy that Ace Ventura talked out of his ass to, which is, of course, one of the pivotal scenes in American comedy right there.
That's actually a good movie. I will go to bat for Ace Ventura.
I'll go bad for that movie. Because they missed Captain Winky. Nick, you can cut all of this.
Yeah, that's the capper of the, you know, transsexual movement in Hollywood. With started with Silence of the Lambs, then The Crying Game, then Ace Ventura.
It was all Psycho. Falls into a place. It was Psycho first.
Anita Sarkeesian released a video recently, and she referred to that movie as problematic, which made me want to watch it again. Which, once again, please cut this.
Wouldn't she find every movie to be problematic?
I hate that word, problematic.
As she said, thank you, as she put it, she goes, her famed line is, everything is sexist, everything is racist, everything is homophobic, and you have to point that out. And I'm like, well, you just did. Once again, please cut all of that.
You're allowed to talk about it, because we're talking about an Asian movie where the white guys are the white devil.
And all the villains are wearing English suits.
Well, yeah, even the good Asian...
It's this movie's version of the Stormtrooper outfit. Come on.
Well, or the Western where the good guys are wearing white and the bad guys are wearing black. I mean, it's a Clint Eastwood dynamic. In fact, when we talked about this, when the crazy 88s were storming the castle, and then everyone was wearing black except for Jackie Chan and the guy who fought him underneath the train with
with an axe in his back.
Oh,
the army officer.
Yeah. He's supposed to be a Manchu or something.
Manchurian army officer, yes.
Well, I mean, and that's why you can tell it's a Hong Kong movie, because the Manchus are the secret agents, right? Not the Hong Kongers.
Mm-hmm.
I think this movie is incredible. We should talk a little bit about some of these fight scenes, because the plot is A, very stupid, and B, relies on the fact that the stepmom, who is apparently Jackie Chan's age-ish, is also the sister of the woman who was previously married to the father.
We never actually got confirmation on that, but it was heavily implied from
Didn't
that
she
scene.
Say, I'm married, and then she brought up her sister, who is his mom?
Okay, yeah, I guess you're right. We did get confirmation
We
on
did!
That one.
It's a very murky.
This movie was very, it had a story.
Well, and Jackie Chan is effectively asexual in it, other than the fact that at one point he's strung up naked and all of a sudden all the women want to marry him.
Well, that's just something they say.
Given the length of that banner, I think
Oh, yeah.
Well, they did remake this in the late 80s, but...
No.
Sorry, I was going to make a dick joke. I'm good. How are you? Fine.
Well, the best fight scene was the one in the house with the split bamboo that he's just using to beat everybody to hell.
And the hatchet man
with the Kung Fu Hustle hatchet man.
Yes. The crazy 88s.
Yeah, at one point, for no reason, the guy he's fighting with tells him to take his shirt off. He throws water on him, so he looks greased up like a Bruce Lee movie. It becomes Bloodsport for 6 seconds. And I'm not complaining.
Magnificent man split that the main villain does in the final fight scene is
fantastic.
Oh my god,
where it truly turns
flexibility.
He's wearing a suit like one of the Nazis who gets his face melted from Raiders of the Lost Ark. You know, it's like kind of gray button down with a vest. He has the glasses on. He takes the glasses off, puts them in a breast pocket, and then does a Jean-Claude Van Damme split as though to say, fuck Time Cop. It's amazing.
It was glorious. It's like, yeah, we've been doing this for a long time.
Well, and this is... why this movie almost, if this was Daniel's podcast, which may or may not exist at this point, this is why this movie belongs in some sort of canon of
I'm the Terrence Malick of podcast writing. It takes a while, but when it comes out, it's going to be life-changing.
Terrence Malick has gone from he needs to make another movie to he needs to stop making movies.
And nothing he does needs to come out.
not touching that.
But, I would say, but it's like, this is cornerstone. As lady friend said, Christina, this is every Tarantino movie on one hand.
This is what Tarantino wants to happen, and this is how it's effectively...
Well, and this is why Jean-Claude Van Damme hits his head against a wall, because this is what he feels all of his movies should be, but they're just not, because A, he can do those splits, which is
I think what's frustrating to me is like, you have Jackie Chan who filmed this. This is a Jackie Chan film, so he directed this.
Well, I think he only directed the final scene. They had somebody else actually directing it.
It was called a Jackie Chan. Okay, so that's
no, you're not wrong, but no. They have two directors left.
And, but the fact of the matter is that Jackie Chan is not choreographing other fights in other movies is just sad, because this is so glorious. I mean,
well, this he to finish Thomas's thought, because he's not allowed to, it's my podcast. This is Steven Seagal and Never Seen Him Again, right? He should just be in everything, because Steven Seagal broke Sean Connery's wrist, but Jackie Chan would have fought back.
This is the problem with why, you know, with Sylvester Stallone not letting Jackie Chan in Expendables 3, which is probably a good thing given what Expendables 3 was, but it was depressing that they told him no.
And they said yes to Kelsey Grammer.
Yes. Like, no, because Jackie Chan after the first one said, I want to be in these movies. This is how I would love to just be like the sign off note, because this is fantastic. And they never took him up on it.
Is it because he's the only one with an Academy Award?
He got it after.
Have it when that happened.
Is it because he's the only one who hasn't ever stumbled accidentally? Because Kelsey Grammer fell off that stage.
Are we making like a Gerald Ford joke?
I mean, if you haven't seen him, use YouTubes for what it's intended to, watching celebrities fall off of things.
I thought that was to watch
he
Daddy
tossed his own salad and scrambled eggs.
Oh, Jesus. Ooh.
Wait, let me try that again. Because he's coming again. Scrambled eggs all over his face. What's a boy to do? Which is the end of that song.
And I was going to make a Daddy of Five joke about YouTube. And I got nowhere to go.
This is why we're not allowed on the same podcast too often. Oh, love you, buddy. All right, so we haven't recorded for 24 minutes of bullshit.
We also have yet to discuss what actually happens when Jackie Chan drinks. We're seeing the results of what happens when white people drink.
Some of us become funny. He becomes better at violence. But he becomes funny, too.
Yes, he does.
Daniel, go take us home.
Well, the first time we actually see him doing drunken boxing was against those four people that go and confront him in his hometown.
Yeah.
And
one of the ones that had your haircut, actually.
You're not wrong.
And so his stepmom basically starts throwing him bottles of wine and liquor. Apparently one of them had a skull and crossbones on it.
That's the good stuff.
That's the good stuff.
Amazing.
Oh, it was amazing seeing him practically just doing the Matrix knee bend.
He did.
With a bottle.
No, he falls down flat on the ground.
And no wires.
And then
no.
Falls down flat on the ground onto somebody else. And the other person gets up on their fours and then falls back down. And Jackie's just still standing there. Like, you know, just in this limbo position that would win every limbo competition.
So in U.S. historical tradition, first ladies, once their husband dies, the people pay for a house, right? Like when Lincoln was assassinated, people paid for Mary Todd, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. When Jackie Chan gets old, I mean, he's 70-something now. Or 60, 60.
No, he's like 63, 60. Yeah.
When he retires and needs help, everyone has to pay for him, right? Because, like, everyone from the Wachowskis to Tarantino, like, everyone rips him off. Like, watching this again, just... And again, this is a sequel to a movie from the 70s, made in 94. And again, it's a sequel, meaning that it's like, remember, I did this shit.
This is CinemaSins' Dear Hollywood before he ever thought about it. It's like, Dear Hollywood, this is how you shoot an action scene. And go.
Right.
Yeah, and then they ripped it off. Like, the I keep saying crazy 88s because there's a scene where like 100 minions with axes attack some people. It's a crazy 88 scene from Kill Bill about a decade earlier.
Now, to be fair, from a kung fu perspective, Jackie Chan is not the first person to provide kung fu, the henchmen using hatchets.
Yeah.
But the way that this one was done, in the way it was done, is...
It's Tarantino.
It's Tarantino.
Right.
You know, it's obvious, you know, Tarantino, you know, got it from probably this.
Well, I mean, and even more obliquely, it's someone like John Woo, who is from also Hong Kong filmmaking, and his career even includes half the actors from this movie. Yeah. But by the time he's coming to America doing Face Off with two pudgy actors, you're just like, oh wait, whoa, back up. This is a Yakuza movie that you did 30 years before with Jackie Chan as a co-producer,
or Stephen Chow with some of the Kung Fu Hustle. Now, obviously, mm-hmm. that incorporated Wire Fu, but still, quite a few of the fight scenes are.
But
very...
to be fair, Kung Fu Hustle is their scary movie.
Right, but yeah. So much better.
Hey, the first scary movie is something, right?
It's something.
Well, and then what was the guy? You looked him up. The guy who played the father.
Oh, yes,
Zhong Li.
No, Tung Li.
You.
Yes.
Not Chun Li, because we talked about how this was Street Fighter 2. In fact, they have a fight in a fish market, which I said, this should be a Street Fighter level, which Daniel said, I think it is, and Thomas said, I know it is! And then Matt Perini from Beyond the Grave said, it's like, I beat people on this, because he competes at that, because he wasn't married at one point, but now he is. And that was a sad time.
Yes, that matters, actually.
Yeah. As a married person with a child, I had to change a diaper, and it's possibly the baby's.
A married person, I have to vacuum.
Your time will come, sir. Your time will come.
It's got some very impressive fight scenes. Problem is that even though it's only an hour and 40 minutes, it's actually kind of boring in places.
Now, when was this movie boring?
It's just the kind of in the after
he the 10-minute sequence where they have to find a replacement for the ginseng root.
That was hilarious.
The early part of the movie is really funny. It's just after he gets beat up and hung up until they invade the steel mill, it's really kind of boring.
I will grant you that you have your fight scenes and you have your waiting for fight scenes.
Yeah. And that's why the good Lord gave us cellular telephones. And I'm making a joke because when you look around the room, there are people watching the movie, and then there's people on their phones. Because, if I might quote Zucker Abram Zucker, Police Squad didn't work because when you're watching TV, people check everything else. Literally everything else. So you have to have plots that are simple. Movies can be big. That's why Naked Gun worked. This movie, being on surround sound in 4K, don't matter. The second you start talking about bullshit... This is why this is your intro to foreign film, because the plot is so thin that even if you're texting the whole time...
You know what's going on.
You know what's going on. But to Matt's point, there's a lot of goofiness that doesn't matter.
To be fair, this is still less goofy than the first one.
I wonder how people would react, and Jeremy will get this, to A Brighter Summer Day.
Oh, wow. What is that, 4 hours?
Yeah.
Because Jeremy... I don't know how many, Jeremy's at least the other person at this table who has seen the first one of Drunken Master, and how goofy that one was. Like, that was 70s kung fu.
I've seen it too.
It's a Three Stooges bit.
It literally is a, because even the whole plot with his same age stepmom. She does kung fu in the most absurd way, which is like, you door-to-door salesman shouldn't come to this door. Why do you want my son? Like, it's the silliest thing. For MacGuffin that we see four times in the entire movie to make the jade look like it's a real jade, but it's essentially cellophane. It's a cheap prop.
It's being used to grind garlic at one point.
Yeah. By Harpo.
It looks like the top of it looks like the same stone from the Fifth Element.
Was Luke Perry lurking in the background of this somewhere?
Jesus.
I was going to say, if they had to cut it out of someone, that would have been a better movie. Now,
this movie actually was very different than I expected it to be, because my first exposure to it was back in 2000, when there was like the... On cable, you'd have those channels. So it's like, here's what's on pay-per-view now. They'd have like 1 minute trailers for it. And this was one of them.
Preview channel, I remember that.
Yeah, that thing.
I saw this, I think, on FX back in like 05. That was the first time I saw it, was like 04 or 05 on FX.
Well, I thought that the whole movie was about he can only fight if he's drunk.
Oh, no, actually, I'm sorry. Let me rephrase. It was Cablevision had a Kung Fu channel.
Ooh.
That they offered for just all their... This is back up in New York. And this was on one day, and I saw it was Jackie Chan, and I was like, all
right,
let's watch
this. Yeah, because Rush Hour, right?
Yeah. Well, no, I'd seen him before Rush Hour. Back before Rush Hour came out, there was a movie called Who Am I? And Jackie Chan gets amnesia.
Great movie.
And I watched it with a buddy of mine, and yet I didn't see Rush Hour until after I saw this movie, actually. Because I saw Rush Hour, I didn't see Rush Hour or Rush Hour 2 in theaters. I saw it with a friend later who said, how the hell did you live and not see this? because I'm not going into that. but this was on, and this was just, I sat down and watched for an hour and 40 minutes this glorious series of fights and these little intermediate plots and just an odd comic relief who keeps holding his ears every time he thinks he's going to get hit over the head.
And to be fair, he has such comedic Buster Keaton-ish timing that he can make a fight scene funny. Like, that's, I mean, it's incredible in a way that's hard to describe, because if you haven't seen Jackie Chan fight outside of to your point, the Chris Tucker thing gets it wrong because they think they need a comic relief.
No, actually, and here's, actually, if you want one and you have the YouTubes, as Nick put it earlier, do this instead. YouTube and search for every frame of painting Jackie Chan. And there's a whole segment about why his Hong Kong movies are better than Shanghai Nights and Shanghai Noon or Rush Hour, because he films a fight scene better.
Hey, yeah. Wow.
And like, why?
I'm in a Western.
Better.
Wow.
And it's better.
Better than Shanghai Nights. That's not that hard.
Shanghai Noon.
Hey, wow. Jeez, wow. I hope that Wes Anderson will hire me again. Jeez.
Nick, you're depressing me with how good that is.
Remember when
I'd rather you do Kermit the Frog and move on.
I'm available for Christmases and bar mitzvahs.
What was that one What was that one movie Jackie Chan was in with Steve Coogan?
Oh, Around the World in 80 Days.
Yes.
Thank you. Yes. Yeah. Oh, that was horrible.
I love both of those people. It's a shame, right?
No, the
Partridge movie recently. Was,
no, what I you should, if you want, you want something
years,
crazy.
Every time in the last 20 years, it'd be fun.
Because Jackie Chan to date still does all his own stunts, and you want something depressing, just look up Jackie Chan injuries, like to the point where, like, or,
Well, there's that blooper reel at the end of this movie where he's literally on fire several times.
Well, it'd be great. Okay, so Thomas introduced me to one of the favorite things of Mike. Got a 9-month-old daughter. When this comes out, 10-month-old daughter. Glove and Boots, and they do failed products from the internet. I would just love to watch Jackie Chan trying to use some of these failed, like, you know, made for TV. It's the new sham fucking wow! Like, that kind of bullshit. Mm-hmm. Like, just trying to watch a walker that also is a Swiss Army knife, and he just falls down a flight of stairs because it's Jackie Chan, so he'll be fine.
Right.
Don't worry about it.
Speaking of made for TV, does anybody else remember the Jackie Chan Adventures?
I love Jackie Chan Adventures.
Okay, you've watched them, and I think you have too. Or the Mike Tyson Adventures?
Oh. I knew you were going to say that.
Don't
put Ghost Guy. Yeah.
Don't put the Sophie's Choice on me.
Jackie Chan.
Well, I mean, I give Jackie Chan credit only because he thought of it 5 years before, but you have... My God, if he only someone clubbed the Mike Tyson guys to death with a George Foreman grill, that would be the best thing maybe has ever happened. Just start throwing ears. If there was an ear weapon, I don't know.
It kind of bothers me that a convicted rapist can make cartoons, but okay.
The Woody Allen cartoon isn't out yet, is it? I thought it was.
He's not a convicted rapist.
Roman Polanski cartoon isn't out either, is it?
Well, that's.
I mean,
that's a good point.
I mean, what was.
There was a punctuation of Daniel's.
I mean, Fat Albert is a.
We can't even get into it because he was quoting Fat Albert as he left the trial, man. And that was only a few weeks ago.
Didn't they have a Fat Albert episode dealing with prison rape?
Yes, they did.
Habba dooba dee! That's all I got. I haven't seen this in the elementary school.
Fresh fish. Hey,
okay,
hey, hey.
Okay, club and boots.
So for those of you who aren't watching me on YouTube, because no one should, I put our Tomorrow Never Dies podcast up there, and there's 17 people who watched it, and three of them are like, I thought there would be more to this other than just audio. You should do more. And then one person said, fuck you. And that was their only comment. I was just like, now I feel how hell is
Ah, YouTube commentators.
Ah, mm-hmm. But you have not yet been accused of being some sort of virgin in your mom's basement. So,
you know what?
You're still better than me.
You know what you are, Nick? You know what you are? A fucking libtard. That's what you are.
I've gotten that before, too, but that was for something different. I have two conservatives and three people who like humanity. I'm kidding. Love you all.
Screw you, Nick. I'm a libertarian.
So. I know.
Oh, no. My personal favorite one is this is the two aliens pretending to be Bill
Clinton. Doll.
And it's it. Yes, but it is only a two-party system, and Ross Perot punches out his hat. And once again, we've forgotten what movie we're reviewing.
No, we just get along because we're both drunks talking about a movie. In a movie called Legend of the Drunken Master, while the two people who are sober are just looking at us like, fuck both of you.
I'm
That's
still
why
here.
We have. You're not drunk.
No, but you but said not, two people and then two
The two people who don't drink, and we have one conservative and one liberal. We're just trying to get them to fight to the death.
You know what we need for that? Booze. Then they could be the, what was it? Waitress flirting with master? Was that the move?
Maid
flirting with master, yes.
Bear holds turtle.
So, as we've clearly run out of things to say other than things that Jackie Chan says, we're going to go around the table and talk about what we thought in our final reviews, and I'm going to make up things to say about them. So, Jeremy, go ahead.
Come for the fight scenes, stay for the fight scenes. That's all this movie has, but... It's good.
Go ahead, Daniel.
Jackie Chan is awesome. I just miss the sort of things that he did when people were actually doing their own stunts and cared about making good action scenes. And yeah, it's a really flimsy plot, and I couldn't tell you what exactly was stringing this movie together, but at the end of the day, I didn't really care. So go check it out. It's amazing.
Fair enough. Matt Quinn?
All right, well... The fight scenes are impressive, and a lot of this movie is actually really funny, but it's just really hard to follow what's going on, and a big chunk of the movie is just super boring, so I wouldn't really recommend it.
I still wonder about you.
And Thomas, what do you think defending this movie?
I love Jackie Chan, and as long as I don't have to pay for his healthcare, I'm fine. No, I'm sorry. But no, the fact of the matter is there are better Jackie Chan films. There are. And these, I'm not referring to Rush Hour or any other American-made Jackie Chan films. There are better ones. But for, you know, some of my intro to, or just a textbook on how you film an action scene or how you choreograph a scene, this movie's textbook. It's wonderful. I love sitting down and watching the fight scenes. The stuff in between is, I'm wondering if there's a cultural gap there for things that we just don't, it's just kind of like, eh.
We just don't understand the value of ginseng.
I think we do understand the value of ginseng is considering some of the stuff they're talking about it being used for.
It's that we define wine differently than they define wine, and their wine would probably help for this film. I still love this film.
Ginseng, is that what it's called when Courtney Love tries to sing nowadays?
I'm not touching that. I'm just
it's
not.
An Irish ballad, a ginger sing.
Ah.
Sing rickety-tickety-tin. And no, I really enjoy this movie. I will watch it again, definitely. The stuff in between the fight scenes is meh, but I still love this film. So,
Kung Fu apologist. So, my final words here: watch it, just do it. I'm not even gonna say there's worse uses of your time. It goes quick. It's, God, it's what? It's 100 minutes? 101 minutes?
Yeah, more something like that.
Yes. And I mean...
101 Kung Fu words.
Here's the thing. All it's going to do is ruin the fact that you've watched other movies where people pretend to do Kung Fu. I think the Wachowskis got it best when... You know, when Neo is fighting Morpheus and just goes, I know Kung Fu.
The last time, Mr. Reeves, no, you don't.
But I mean, that's just it. It's nothing that they do there is real to the point where you can tell because, as I pointed out last time I was watching it,
with some groomsmen somewhere stupid, but it's all green because it's CGI. They make the reference that it's all on a computer because it's all tinted like an old TV screen. Here, it's just real color because Jackie Chan just can fucking do it. Like, he really can. He does the corkscrew spins. He does the uncle washing your head or whatever he calls these things. Like, he comes up with names for stuff because he can actually do it. He's flexible and he's fine.
No, the fact of the matter is that there is not a movie you can find of Jackie Chan fighting where he hasn't done his own stunts. The man has dislocated his own hip doing stunts. It's absurd, and come back and continue to do it.
Jackie Chan is awesome.
So Jackie Chan movies are what happens when you don't work union. You can just do whatever the fuck you want.
Which is the whole plot of this movie.
Yeah.
However, we are out of time. So before we get out of time completely, we will allude to the next episode. So we have two hints for what the next episode is. Matt, what do you got?
Frozen Critters.
And Thomas?
It's clobbering time.
So I'd like to thank you everyone for listening. Tune into my new podcast, Doom to Repeat. And if you haven't been listening, Myopia Mornings is on this feed now. Dan, you have your own feed, which is coming out. And of course, Thomas, you have
The Geekly Oddcast and your Otter Worlds.
Otter Worlds coming out. So if you haven't been listening, you should be. So tune in next week and every future week as we put another piece of your past on trial. Thanks, guys.
Myopia Defend Your Childhood is a production of Dude Letter Podcasting. It is produced by Nick Hoffman. Our editors are Aaron Greer, Candace Burns, and Nick Hoffman. Our theme song is Caroline, performed by the Serenaders. Myopia Defend Your Childhood is a member of the ESO Network. Find us on Facebook and DudeLetter.com.